You're listening to The Britpop Show, sponsored by Creation Day Festival, playing the best and the rest of Britpop.
It's The Britpop Show. That's the time on Monday night when you go back to the 90s. But today is a very special show. I'll explain to you why the show is special. But to pique your interest, we're going to play after the Blue Tones, I'm going to try in the show not to cry. I guarantee you I will cry in the show. Right. But before we do that, if that must have piqued your interest, before we do that, the Blue Tones are back. They've got their first new music in 30 years. But here we are from Blue Tonic.
When I am sad and weary, when all my hope is gone, and I can't put my finger on the time things first went wrong, I have a little secret I like to tell myself.
Talked it up a bit, didn't I? Said first music in 30 years. It's not 30 years at all, it's 14 years. But it's pretty good. Go and check it out. It's on Spotify and all the usual places. Also available on vinyl if you actually want to support the artist. Blue Tones are back, and I will be seeing them live in about a month's time, I think. Hopefully you're out going to see them as well. These bands are back. They won't be back forever, so let's go and support them while they are. Right, today's show is about... In about four or five weeks ago, I sent a tweet out saying, look, I'm in Australia looking after my dad who has dementia. And Do you have any? Does anybody have any tips? And it went crazy. There was 100,000 people viewed it, and there were loads and loads of amazing tips. And Dementia UK sent me something, and I said, look, it would be lovely to have you on the show because there's a real link between dementia and music, and I just thought it would just be helpful to have that explained. And you know, it comes from a special place in my heart as well. So. We're very honoured to have Vic Lyons, who is a dementia specialist admiral nurse at Dementia UK. Her actual title is pretty long-winded. It is clinical lead for digital services and dementia at work at Dementia UK. They said, you don't have to read all of that out. I have now. She will be joining us in approximately 10 minutes to talk about all things dementia. If you have any questions, just smash the button on the to message the studio on the app. If you're not listening on the app, go to at the Britpop Show on Twitter and just send me a message and I will try and read all of them out. Before we do that, though, we have to celebrate. Not only are the Blue Tones releasing new music, but Shed 7, they haven't just had one number one album this year. They have had two. They've joined this really unusual and eclectic list of artists that have had two number one albums in the same year, and they're currently number one UK album, number one independent album, number one Scottish album, number one download album, number one vinyl album, number one CD album, and number one physical album. So let's play a pretty well known one from Shed 7, shall we?
Hits from the 1990s. The sea or sun.
currently number one in the charts. Can you believe it? Let's bear in mind, they've had two this year. They'd never had one before. If you think about how amazing their previous albums were, not to have had a number one, and now they've had two in a year. It's pretty inspiring. Right. I've promised you Vic Lyons, and Vic Lyons you will have immediately after this song by Sleeper. Sleeper Unplugged are currently on tour. If you want to go and see them at the Hitching Club on the 10th of October, you better have got your tickets already, because they're sold out otherwise. They're doing St Helens on the 11th of October. They're doing Kendal on the 12th. Newcastle, Blackburn, Kidderminster, Cardiff. The second show is sold out. And then Manchester, finishing on Sunday, the 10th of November. Sleeper Unplugged. Let's remind ourselves what Sleeper are all about.
She's a good girl. She's a good girl.
She's a Good Girl by Sleeper. Now, I promised you Vic Lyons, and we should have on the line, Vic Lyons, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, that's fine. I'm going to have to hold you slightly here and do you via the microphone direct. For some reason, the lead that takes you through the desk wasn't working, so we just have to do it this way. It's all good, though. It's all good. As long as everybody can hear you and not me, that's what's most important. Now, Vic is the dementia specialist admiral nurse at Dementia UK, and I've already warned her that I'm probably going to cry. But Vic, let's start with the basics. What's dementia?
So dementia is something that affects a lot of people in the UK, and we expect that probably around about a million people actually are going to be living with dementia. And essentially, dementia is an umbrella term, where it's a word like furniture, and there's lots and lots of different types of dementia. There's around 200. It's an umbrella term for a progressive condition that affects a person's brain. And Alzheimer's disease is the one that most people have heard about. It's the most common type, but as I say, there's around 200 different types of dementia, and about a million people will have the diagnosis. But for those people, they've obviously got family members who overnight become carers because of this diagnosis as well. So lots more people who are living with the impact of dementia. And that's what we at Dementia UK do, is support whole families.
Because the carers are often forgotten about, aren't they? There's a person with this terrible disease, and it's understandable that everybody looks to that person, but the carers can suffer just as much.
Absolutely, and I think that's the hard thing, because when you're a carer, you're watching your loved one go through this really quite devastating disease process. This you know, can be very hard, it can be very upsetting. You don't necessarily understand what's going on, you don't necessarily know what version of your loved one you're going to meet from any day to day, because of the nature of the dementia. Things change, and you know, people's personalities, behaviours, how they present can change. You know, but people can live well with dementia. I've met loads of people who live really well with dementia, but with the right support, that's what helps you to do it. So it's making sure you've got support around, you've got access to good quality information and support like our admiral nurses to help families cope with this, because it is, you know, nobody ever wants a diagnosis of dementia in their family. And once you get it, what support's available to you will vary depending on where you live in the UK and, you know, how the local services are commissioned, what things are there to support you. And some families tell us they get given the diagnosis and actually get no support. So, you know, that's why our website at Dementia UK has got loads of information on there, and our helpline's there for families so they can phone us or they can book an appointment. Because we know with the right support, you can continue to live well with dementia, but without the support, it can be really difficult for families.
Yeah. So what are the signs of somebody with dementia, and what kind of behaviour can you expect from them?
Do you know, everybody, it's a bit of a cliche to say every person with dementia is different, but it's true, because we're all different, we're all unique. The things that make us people are different for all of us. So some people might experience the very classic changes in their memory and confusion, disorientation associated with their memory. But for other people, it might be not being able to concentrate on things. It might be decision making. It might be fixating on certain things, or, you know, just changes in that person. And I guess that's the key thing here, is it's changes that are more than just one change. We can all walk into a room and forget why we've gone into that room, or forget the name of something. And even I'm at that stage now where I go through so many names when I need to call my children. It's like, it's this list of hysterical names. But we all do that. That's normal. But it's actually when you can't say what you've had for lunch, perhaps, or you can't remember where you live or the bank or how to get there. So it's changes that are more than everyday changes that are having an impact on your life to some degree.
And what research have they done? Are people genetically predisposed to this, or is it something more fundamental than that?
It's a great question. So the research has been done all the time around this and why people get dementia and what it looks like. And there is certainly some types of dementia where there seems to be a hereditary link, and, you know, there's more of a risk of developing dementia in some families, and certainly with young onset dementia, which is dementia under the age of 65, we see an increase around familial dementia where there's a definite genetic link. But then in other families, you can have twins, and you can have one twin with dementia, and the other twin with absolutely no cognitive changes or issues at all.
Well, I'm a twin, so I'm hoping it's him, not me.
Yeah, this is it. We just don't know, do we? You know, the genetics is there. And I mean, there are certainly things you can do to prevent your risk of developing dementia, but genetically, you're still out a little bit.
Well, this is why you're a brilliant interviewee, because my next question is, what can we do to avoid it?
Ah, preemptive question then. So what we can do to avoid dementia is, essentially, it's the things that you do to look after yourself. It's all about boring advice that, you know, we all know we should do. So it's eating a good diet, drinking too much alcohol, getting some exercise, making sure you have a good sleep at night so you give your brain time to rejuvenate, to recover. You know, these things will help. Looking after your cardiovascular system, looking after any other conditions. So if you've got diabetes or cholesterol, making sure they're well managed will help. And the key thing that I always say to people is, to look after your head, you've got to look after your heart. So the pieces of advice that you get given, and you know, okay, I really should exercise and not drink too much wine or whatever else, these are the good pieces of advice that, you know, will help you. And just remember that, look after your head. So look after your head, look after your heart, will stand you instead.
Okay, well, one glass of red wine's okay for the heart, isn't it? That's what people say.
Well, this is it.
Well, I'll drink to that. Right, so we're going to move on in a bit. I've got lots of questions from lots of people and lots of tips that were given to me while I was on Twitter, and I just wanted to run through some of those with you. But we are the Britpop show, and I initially asked you, are you a fan of Britpop? Do you like any Britpop? And your instant answer was, is Manic Street Preachers Britpop? To which I said, absolutely. So talk to me about the Manics.
So I love the Manics, and I have done for a really long time. I was lucky enough to see them live. I can't remember the last year. It was at Leeds Town Country Club, so however long ago that was, it feels like a lifetime ago, really. But they're just a band that, I think, whether it's an old song or a new song, they hit in a certain way. There's never a song that I've heard that I've gone, actually, that's not working for me. They always just produce good music again and again. And I was debating whether they were Britpop or indie. That was my debate. Going on in my head.
Well, they can be both. Let's have Motorcycle Emptiness, and after that we'll talk a bit more about dementia and how it affects people.
Taking you back to the 90s. We'll be right back.
Motorcycle Emptiness by the Manic Street Preachers. Now, Vic, we were talking to you earlier, and I understand from some of the listeners that you may have been a little bit quiet. I've put you right next to the microphone, and if anybody didn't hear what you said beforehand, I'm going to do some jiggery-pokery with the podcast, and you will be clear as a bell. We have a question for you, and this is from on Twitter, and it's from somebody called Bold Gordo, and he says, do you have any tips or advice on how to deal with sundowning and fixation? They would be most welcome. Now, let's deal with those in turn. And firstly, what is sundowning?
So thank you for the question. So sundowning is essentially, it's a term that we use to describe changes that occur around this time of night, actually. So around that dusk period when the kind of days wrapping up and closing up for the day. And it's that kind of time that you would sort of commonly see sundowning. And we know that it affects probably about half people, so somewhere between 20 and 45% of people with dementia. And that can be any type of dementia might experience sundowning. And what we typically see is somebody becoming a little bit more agitated, a bit more anxious. They might want to go home. They might sort of start to show some signs of distress, be a little bit harder to settle down at that period of the day. So that's what the term essentially means. But if you are experiencing this, and if somebody is experiencing sundown, it's actually how do you manage this? What do you need to do? And sometimes it's around things like going to a different room, encouraging someone to have a drink, give them a snack, even putting music on can help. You know, put some music on that somebody likes, that they love. So an artist that's going to help them to feel a bit different, to change the emotional state that they're in. For some people, it's about going out for a walk or doing something to distract them. But if somebody is distressed and they're expressing distress to you and it's coming through in sundown, it's actually really important to try and ask that person what's causing that distress. So try and find out what it is that's causing it. And if it's potentially it's a lady and she's wanting to know where her children are, she's asking for the children. And that can be quite common for ladies. And as the day closes in, you know, that kind of mothering instinct, where the kids are, they here? Offer that reassurance that they're safe, they're well, they're fine. Maybe have a phone call with them, look at some pictures of them. You know, so these things can help to kind of soothe somebody and reassure them that things are fine. You might sit and hold someone's hand, or, you know, sort of do something nice with that person when that's about to, you know, that potentially is going to happen. And another really important thing is make sure you've got lights on. You know, don't have lots of mirrors around the place, so there's lots of reflections and things that might confuse them. And you don't really want someone to be sitting at this time of the day in a dark place. So making sure it's light, that it's warm enough, you know, all of these things might help to reduce some of the agitation that somebody might experience when it reduces sundowning.
And what about fixation? What's that?
So fixation is when people get fixed on something, when they, you know, due to their dementia, due to their memory loss, they can get fixed on something. So it's like a fixation. And we see this quite a bit in dementia. Somebody might repeat the same thing, you know, where are my keys? Have I got enough money? Where am I supposed to be going? It's these kinds of behaviours that you can see somebody get fixed on. And in some aspects, it's about helping them to feel a sense of certainty in the world. It can almost be a bit like a pattern that they fall into, and it gives them that sense of security because they're asking the question. Sometimes it's an unmet need. So, you know, so for example, my mother-in-law's got dementia, and with her, it's always, where's my keys? I don't know where my keys are. I'm not sure where my keys are. So we know this. So we've built a routine in so that she knows the keys are in a certain pocket in her bag. So, you know, we'll almost when we know she's going to start experiencing this fixation, we'll say to her, your keys are here. You know, or if we go out to eat, well, she's always worried about paying the bill and has she got enough money? So I will let her pay the bill. I'll let her give me some money. So she's paid the bill and she knows she's done that. I then give her the money back later. But, you know, she doesn't need to pay the bill. I'm quite happy to buy her a cup tea and, you know, got cake. But it helps her meet that need that she has to feed me and to provide a response. And if I said to her, oh, you don't need to pay the bill, it's my treat, that doesn't work. That doesn't take away that cycle of worry she's got about, has she paid that bill? So it's kind of working through, what's my person getting fixed about? What's that fixation about? And then how can I preempt this and, you know, kind of work with the information that the person's bringing me to try and avoid them getting distressed?
Now, I've noticed that with my dad, that where if we go to a restaurant, he struggles with the menu. He really struggles with the menu. And more often than not, he will just say, I'll have the same as you're having. And somebody suggested that what they sometimes do is take photos of the various meals and said to them, you know, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? Is that a common thing that you experience?
Yeah. And if you think about it, when you go to a restaurant, it's a nice experience if you're able to do it. But even for me, sometimes it can be a bit daunting. What do I want to eat? There's so many options, so many choices. How do you make the right decision? So if you know that, you know, Dad particularly likes whatever it might be, you know, if you're going to that restaurant, you could say to him, what do you think today you would fancy? Fish and chips, or would you fancy some risotto, whatever is on the menu that you think Dad might like. So you could still give him a choice, but maybe narrow it down a little bit, because looking at a massive menu in a noisy environment with lots of stimulation, smells and people and chatter and background noise, all of that could be too much. So, you know, trying to narrow it down, and photographs is a great way of doing it, because it gives somebody a bit more of a clue and the sort of visual stimuli about what actually that we're talking about. But, you know, if you have to make that decision, providing you're making the decision based on something you think Dad's going to like, then, you know, hopefully he's going to have a nice experience. He's going to enjoy the meal. You know, now's not the time to give him, I don't know, something he might not like. It's kind of going, okay, I'm making this decision because I'm just trying to take away anything that might cause you any distress or upset. So, or narrowing it down, so there's just one or two choices rather than the whole menu.
And the other thing, he's got a small dog, and this dog is his world. And what I've noticed is in social gatherings where there's more than three or four people, say, and we're sat around the table, I think because he's not following the conversation, because there's different people talking, and I guess he's struggling to understand even who they are, let alone what they're talking about, he tends to just spend his whole time talking to the dog or petting the dog and just takes himself out. Presumably that's pretty common as well.
And you know what, I mean, I'm a dog owner. I always say I love talking to people, but I love talking to my dog the most. My dog, you know, they're my personal, no, they're not personal. But, you know, actually, we can get so much reassurance from our animals. Dogs do not ask questions. They don't ask you to make decisions about what you want to eat in a menu, or follow a conversation, or look at you with a quizzical eyebrow if you say something that's a bit odd. You know, well, occasionally they might, but largely they don't, do they? Whereas people ask more of each other. So there's loads of stuff around family therapy, about animal therapy and working with animals. And what I would say in that case is to have conversations with Dad about his dog. So you're talking about something that he loves, that you know he loves. You know, if you want him to go out, you've got a great lead there, haven't you? Because you can say, well, we need to take the dog out, or, you know, we're going to go and exercise the dog, or, you know, let's groom the dog, let's pet the dog, let's feed the dog treats, train the dog a trick, whatever it might be that we do, or just have a hug, because dogs give great hugs. You know, so actually that gives you that sense of comfort and reassurance. So I'm all for some dog therapy.
Right, we're going back to the music now, and I will, after this song, I'll ask you about dementia and music and the link. But you were talking about, you said, you know, Britpop is Oasis, and you picked Supersonic. Why did you pick Supersonic?
So I picked Supersonic in truth for my son. So Oasis is one of those bands in my family that I've got an 11-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a husband, and we all love Oasis. We weren't fortunate enough to get tickets, but, you know, hey, that's another story. But we all love Oasis, and I think I could have chosen so many songs, but I did ask my son, and he said it's got to be Supersonic because this is his favourite song. So it's entirely for my son, William. He will be delighted.
Well, here we go, William. Supersonic, just for you.
You're listening to The Britpop Show, sponsored by Creation Day Festival, playing the best and the rest of Britpop.
I need to be myself.
Supersonic by Oasis, and of course we have Vic Lyons in the studio from Dementia UK running us through some tips about dementia. Now, Vic, we have a question from Steve. Steve's actually a guitarist from a famous band called Electricity, but he has a question, and that is, does music have some kind of secret password and therefore has access to reach parts of the brain where nothing else can?
No, the easy answer to that is yes. We know that. And I think for all of us, every single person, music is a powerful thing. It connects us to memories, to times of our life, people, places, things we've done. And I know that all of your listeners will know that you can sometimes hear a song that you haven't heard for ages, years perhaps, on the radio. And almost the minute you hear it, you not only know the first line, but you can remember where you first heard it, who you were with, what you were going through in your life. And that's the power of music, is it unlocks those memories, it connects those memories. And we also know that music can help to reduce your heart rate, it can help to reduce your blood pressure. So there's something physical going on as well. It's not just that emotional response that we have with music. It helps people to, you can use it to manage pain, to get someone to relax. And we also do think it can improve someone's memory, with speech, communication. And I've certainly, so I'm an audible nurse, I've worked with families where the person with dementia has perhaps lost the ability to communicate. They can no longer speak. But actually, you put on a certain song, they can sing that song. And that's magic. That's just magical. And I think all of our Admiral nurses talk, I mean, I'm a music lover, I completely love music, but I think all of our Admiral nurses would talk about the power of music to unlock a special part in our brains. And, you know, and if you're caring for someone with dementia, if you've got a loved one with dementia, just listen to music, you know, find out what they like, make it relevant. You know, if they love Britpop, you're going to play that. You're not going to play something that isn't going to be relevant to that person. You want the right music. And ideally, you want songs that have got that emotional impact. So a song that is special for that person in some way, or a genre that's special for that person in a certain way. And you know, it just has got that ability to shift what's going on for somebody. So absolutely. And you could sort of say, hey, is this music therapy? But I think every time you listen to a song, it's music therapy. It's just whether you label it as such or not. So yeah, 100% music's important, but I don't need to tell you that, do I?
That's right. It's the greatest time machine there is. Takes you back to a moment. What's funny with my dad, every single song that comes on the radio, every single song, he's like, ah, it's the Rolling Stones, every single song. And then the one time the Rolling Stones came on the radio, I said to him, Dad, who's this? And he went, Elton John.
It's funny, isn't it? Isn't that, it's just how we remember things, and that. So his stock answer is yeah, it's interesting. And I think when I talk about relevant music, it's one of the things that we, in care facilities, people used to do this thing where they go, oh, everybody loves Verilyn, so we'll play some Verilyn or whatever. But that might not be what you like, you know. So for your dad, he might want to listen to Rolling Stones. Someone else might want to listen to Elton John. I don't want to listen to Cliff Richard or whatever. I'm sorry, Cliff Richard. It's what do we want to listen to? And music's so personal. It's got to be tailored towards what actually works well for that person. And, you know, naturally there's like Playlist for Life. There's information on our website, on Dementia UK website. There's a whole leaflet and there's lots of links. But, you know, I always encourage people to have headphones or earbuds or something so that they can listen to music that's right for them. If you're in a hospital, if someone you love with dementia is in hospital, putting music on can take away all the beeps, all the questions, make them feel happier, more relaxed in what could be a distressing situation. So it's got to be the right music, hasn't it?
Always, always. So we're nearly out of time. So just one final question from you. How do people get hold of you? What should they do?
So we've got a website. So I'm from Dementia UK. So we're a charity. We have a website. And on the website, there's loads of information that's crafted by our Admiral nurses. So do have a look at the information that's on there. We can offer people appointments, so people can actually, maybe they want to have a one-to-one, a conversation with us. So they can go on there and book an appointment, or if it's a more pressing concern and you need to speak to somebody, do encourage people to phone our helpline and speak to somebody. So and we'd love to take phone calls from people who need help and support, so do get in touch.
That's amazing. You do amazing work, so thank you for that. We're going to leave you, Vic. We're going to say thank you very much. The show's not over, but we're going to—I know you're busy, so we're going to leave you. You've requested one final song, which is "She's in Fashion" by Suede. It turned out that you knew more Suede than you realised.
Yeah, and you know what? This is when I moved to London. I remember moving to London and hearing this song and just thinking it captured London for me—the kind of business. And also, I thought, you know, it's got the line, she's face on the radio. So that just was like, oh, that's got to be the song for this interview and today. So, yeah, thank you for playing that.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you, and thank you again. And obviously, if anybody is touched by this horrible disease, then Dementia UK has all sorts of things that they can help you with. Thank you once again. We're going to, while you tiptoe off into the distance and no doubt have some well-earned dinner, we're going to leave you with She's in Fashion by Suede. How amazing is Vic? So good, so good. Right, I've had some other messages on Twitter. Jennifer said, don't argue or contradict your dad and make him more upset. My mum gets very agitated and it's best to just keep calm and agree. Chances are he won't remember what was said 5 minutes later. Also, be sure to have small snacks around for him to eat. My mum forgets she's eaten and snacks help. Also, varied advice. Greg said, I lost my dad a month ago. He had Alzheimer's. One thing I realised is that facts don't matter, but feelings do. I.e., don't try to correct him if he gets something wrong. Go with it. Leave a nice energy around him. Brilliant, brilliant advice. Nicola Peters said, I talk to my dad like the man he always was, never talked down. He loves talking about music from the 60s and I listen with rapt interest every time. He's so animated when he's singing all the songs to me. Try to be patient with the repetition. This next one is brilliant. Emily Spee, she says, we got my dad a huge teddy to cuddle. He found it very soothing, also found it more peaceful and less stressful for him to just go with wherever he was in time slash reality. No point trying to correct or tell him what reality was. There will be some beautiful lucid moments. The other thing, Amy Rigby said, it's so hard. She said, a helpful thing was touch. Just rubbing hand cream on my father's hands seemed to soothe him. He's gone now. I was thinking of those brief moments when he was happy or peaceful. Brings me to tears, as difficult as it was. I miss him. So it's been an amazing show. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave you with something from Ocean Colour Scene, because Ocean Colour Scene are on tour in March and April next year. If you haven't got your tickets, they're supported by Cooler Shaker. Massive, massive gig. But anybody who's touched by this, thank you for contacting me. And if you do want to contact me direct or contact Dementia UK, please do so. Let's see what we can do.
Hits from the 1990s.